The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about, as long as about your health. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Let's chat. It's cold outside. Let me warm up the inside of you and let you know that you got a better way of dealing with things than perhaps the drugs and surgery you've been doing so far. You know, there's, as we've said repetitively over a period of time, there's only three things that cause anything, right? Injury to the body, biochemical imbalance. What do I mean by that? Things that, you know, go into your body that shouldn't be there, things that you need more of, you're not getting enough of. Today's world, electrical fields, electromagnetics, pollutions, and so forth. And the third is how you run that 6 inches between your earlobes. What you think about actually portrays what your outcome is. Your body walks in perfect direction with whatever is your thought process. So knowing that, you know, it has a ramification in the body, and you have all of these things that show up, whether they're chronic pain patterns or, you know, low back pain or headaches, cancers, autoimmune conditions, and so forth. There's really only three triggering mechanisms, and you need to think about that. So we're going to talk about certain things today that I want you to be aware of, things that are in the news that are very important that you need to be aware of. We're going to talk a little bit about statins, you know, those drugs that your physician likes to give you to lower your cholesterol. We're going to talk a little bit about chronic pain patterns. And, you know, kind of open your eyes, particularly the opioid crisis. We're going to start a little bit on that area as well. Coming up in the next several months, we have a lot of things in store for you. One program, there's going to be a very revealing, eye-opening data dump when it comes to concussions from all kinds of things, things that you wouldn't even think cause concussive problems. But we have a society right now that's losing their minds because of injury patterns, and we see that every day in things like, believe it or not, lacrosse, believe it or not, soccer. Everybody points their fingers to football in the National Football League. But in addition to that, we have other issues that are up there. But let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk about your stuff and things that are very common. You know, I'm constantly reading, and patients triggering those process of things that I like to read because I want to make sure that I have all the data for them. And there's evidence that's out there that contradicts, flies in the face of your physician giving you a statin. A statin is a cholesterol-lowering medication. You know, there's tremendous amount of evidence that they actually are probably making your heart health worse. They appear effective because they drop your cholesterol. But what we don't understand and what they forget about telling you is that that's really not what's causing the plaquing. Statins also deplete your body of something called coenzyme Q10. They inhibit the synthesis of a very important vitamin called K2, which now suddenly is all over the place. And everybody says, well, you got to take K2. We'll tell you what that's all about in a second. And they reduce the production of a very important thing called ketones. So statins increase your risk of serious disease, including things like cancer that we just talked about, diabetes, degenerative disease, you know, mess up your eyes, problems with your spine and musculoskeletal system. You end up far more pain. And then people who are on statins, you know, these cholesterol-lowering drugs, guess what happens? They end up then wanting to get something that will drop the pain threshold down and make things much worse. And they end up giving you cataracts as well. So let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk about this, you know, for a few minutes, and then we're going to start taking your calls at 888-630-9625. You know, statin cholesterol lowering drugs are being touted by everybody. And as I told you, those of you who are, you know, chronic listeners to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, every couple of years I go get a full cardiac exam. I get a treadmill and an echo and pressures and peripheral, you know, pressures and so forth, because I push myself like crazy. I'm always moving and going and doing, and I want to make sure that I'm cool. So I don't take any medications. My blood pressure runs generally about 118 over 70. And if I'm not working out, and it's a whole lot better than that sometimes when I'm really pushing the envelope, when, you know, when my body says you need to exercise more type of thing. And so I did this, you know, full examination about a year ago. And the short end of the long story is that this physician was sitting there at his desk, looking at his computer, looking down his nose at me and saying, by the way, because of your age, you have a 12.5% chance of having a heart attack in the next 10 years. And I said, doctor, I said, is that my age or people who are in the condition that I am at my age? And he just looked at me, he glared at me, and then he went on and said, well, standard of care is that we need to put you on an aspirin and a statin as a preventative because you have a problem. I said, what? Because I am that age? And he just didn't say anything. So I started data dumping on him and gave him all kinds of information. So I'm going to data dump on you today. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of information that you're going to go back and you're going to question your physician. And by the way, heads up, they are going to lose their minds. They're going to be ugly and they're going to sit there and say, that's not the case. Well, I'm going to give you the references so that you can look at it as well. Statins, first of all, are one of the most widely used prescribed drugs in the marketplace. Here's the data. About 1 in 4 of you are taking a statin. It's amazing, right? 1 in 4 over the age of 45 are taking statins. And this already is kind of an inflated number to set, you know, is set to explode and to increase and to become even more prevalent. Now, who's this? Dr. Tom Rozelle saying this? No, this is a direct quote from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, USPSTF. So check it out. You know, make sure that you, as I've said always, don't believe anybody, not even me. Check it out. Do your own homework. So there's this federal advisory board, and, you know, they recommend statin treatment. That's what they did to me, right? If you're between the ages of 40 to 75 with a 10% or greater risk of heart problems in the next 10 years, yay, that was me. That's what they told me, you know, because I'm at that age, right? So I need to be put on a statin. Now, even if they have not had a previous heart attack or stroke or history of cardiovascular problems, they're going to put you on. So needless to say, if you're an adult and you're up over 40, the standard of care is that they're going to put you on that drug just because. So patients come in and tell me, say, well, doc, my cholesterol, you know, is about 200 and 210 and I can't get it down. My doctor wants it down under 200 as low as possible. And I look at them and I say, you know, when I was in school, normal cholesterol was 235. And you started dropping the parameters down. And we're going to talk a little bit about a VAP test later on. VAP test is the fractionated portions of those things called fats in your body and what they really mean. So there's far more that goes into your risk of heart disease than just lowering your cholesterol, if that's what they, I mean, it's, you know, by the time I'm done, you're going to realize that you've been hoodwinked. And you've been hoodwinked for a purpose, and that's putting cha-king, you know, in somebody's pocket. So there's evidence showing that statins may actually make your heart health worse, as we alluded to a little while ago. So here's where it comes down to. Expert review of clinical pharmacology, and that's a report, right? Expert review of clinical pharmacology, you can look it up, concluded that statins, okay, that are advocated by these people, they use a tool called relative risk reduction, RRR, and they amplify statins' trivial beneficial side effects. It amplifies it. Now, listen to my words. You know, do statins do some things? Yeah, they do. Do they drop cholesterol? Absolutely. But is that what causes you to plaque and have risk? No, not necessarily. So if you look at absolute risk, statin drugs benefit just about 1% of the population. That means out of 100 people treated with a drug, one person will have one less heart attack because of the overuse of statin. One person out of 100. And meanwhile, you have to put up with all the stuff. So does that sound really impressive to you? Does that mean that you should go out and say, oh, yes, doctor, and take that? So I'm on a spin today because of an article that I just read and somebody that asked me a question the other day. So making the statistical, you know, sleight of hand, if you will, you know, this duping effect, suddenly, you know, statins suddenly become, you know, beneficial for over 30 to 50% of the population. So guess what? Stats at a local university, it's called George Mason University down the street here, you know, quote, an important feature of relative risk is that it tells you nothing about the actual risk. I'm going to read that to you again. This is a direct quote. Quote, an important feature of relative risk is that it tells you nothing about the actual risk. Weigh that one out. Statins don't work. Here's what other things happen when you take a statin. Okay, these cholesterol-lowering drugs. Statins deplete your body of coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, which accounts for all kinds of crazy things that happen in your body and actually devastating stuff. It was, when statins were first put out there, it was proposed to add a black box warning, you know, from the FDA and decided against it in 2014. Okay? They decided against it. It kills you, but it decides against it. CoQ10 is used for energy production in your body, and they feed these little things called mitochondria. And it's absolutely essential for good health and high energy levels, longevity of your life. Less CoQ10 that you have, you're going to die sooner. And you need to make sure that this stuff is there. So it's a critical component of cellular respiration. That means the exchange of oxygen and getting rid of CO2. The production of a little guy called ATP. For those of you who are the geeks and want to know what ATP stands for, it's adenosine triphosphate. It's the engine carrier. So ATP is this coenzyme. It's this thing that helps your body use energy in every cell of your body. So when you consider that your heart is the most energy demanding organ in your body next to your brain, you can summarize how potentially devastating this can be. So it's like craziness, right? So why would you take something that's going to knock your heart out? So they're supposed to be fixing the heart, right? You're supposed to be fixing the plug-in effect, but you're taking the stuff and it's actually making you worse. So if you take statins, you got to take, at least you got to take CoQ10. You got to go out and take it, and you got to make sure you're taking the right kind and it's synthesized properly. So if you're over 40, I would strongly recommend, you know, particularly if you're taking aspirin. By the way, aspirin and statins together are like taking a gun, spinning the revolver, and you're going to play Russian roulette. That's what it's like, because sooner or later, you're going to have a problem. It's going to shorten your lifespan, period, end of story. Every study conducted so far, says CoQ10 has been shown to be far more bioavailable than the non-reduced form of CoQ10. So it's something called ubiquinol, which is the poison. So that's why you got to get a good pharmaceutical grade and not just go out there and get it done. There's guys out there that you know, really know their stuff. You want to read a good medical newsletter. Steven Sinatra is a good guy. He's founder of an outfit called New England's Heart Center, and you need to read his stuff. I mean, when it comes to heart, you know, one study in the European Journal of Pharmacology showed that ubiquinol, you know, effectively rescued cells from damage. Now, CoQ10, and I'm not a big proponent of certain pieces. CoQ10 by itself, it comes from a decent laboratory. You're going to have what you need. But we're going to get into the statin thing as we go through, because it's not good and it's probably killing you. So statins reduce all kinds of things, including this thing that we mentioned earlier called K2. And we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about K2. We're going to talk a little bit about the reduced ketone productions and the risk of serious diseases that come about because you're taking that drug, because everybody thinks that you should be having it, and diabetes and all those things. Yeah, diabetes. When you take a statin, your risk of diabetes goes through the ceiling. So we'll talk about that. But we're coming up for a break right now. Love to have your phone calls at 888-630-9625. Give me a call. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that you got in your mind. We're going to start taking your calls pretty quickly. I want to talk a little bit more about the statin thing. You know, in between the break here, I got a little news release from Fox News, and it says, you know, the president of the American Heart Association had a heart attack, and he's recovering from his heart attack. He's a 52-year-old guy, and he's president of the AHA, the American Heart Association. And so my question is this. Here's the guy who's the head of the American Heart Association, right? And you would think that he's keeping an eye on his cholesterol. And probably if he's following standard of care, he's taken, I don't know if he is or if he isn't, but he's taken a statin-lowering medication. He's probably taking something for AFib, you know, tropoprolol and those kind of things. And, gee, he had a heart attack. You know, this a cardiologist, you know, who this guy by the name of Warner Rutili performs the same procedures that he underwent himself. So this is the guy who is the head of this organization. You know, what's up with that? You know, you think that if stuff works, that he would have prevented his heart attack. Just saying. I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's just food for thought. That's kind of, you know. Anyway, let's get back to statins. Let's talk about statins and, you know, why they don't work. And remember what I said. This is not me telling you. This is stuff that I'm giving you straight up. And you got all kinds of things that are taking place because of the use of the statins. You know, this drug or this vitamin, I'm sorry, K2, there's a new finding that was published in March, going back a couple years ago, 2015, and it was published in Expert Review of Clinical Pharmacology. It revealed that in deference to the current belief that cholesterol reduction with statins decrease hardening of the arteries, something called atherosclerosis, the drugs may instead actually stimulate plaquing and heart failure. Okay, so that was in their own journal's Expert Review of Clinical Pharmacology. So when you take this stuff, this garbage, these statins, they actually can cause further damage and problem hardening of the arteries. Atherosclerosis means plaquing within the arterial bed, and then heart failure means your heart stops working. It goes into flutter. It shuts down. Not going to work. Interesting side effect of taking these things, right? So there were several physiological mechanisms that were discussed in this study and that show how these drugs may make your heart health much worse than what you thought. So, you know, one that was the contributing factor is that they inhibit the synthesis of very, very, very important vitamins called K2. And so now everybody's out there saying you got to take K2. Well, what happens if you weren't taking this junk to begin with? Maybe, you know, your body would produce what it needs. Well, you need to get it anyway, but you need a little bit more, and it comes from certain areas. But K2 protects your arteries. It protects it from calcification, hardening, calcific hardening. And without enough K2, right, these plaque levels get worse. They just kind of add up. So K2's biological role is to help move calcium into the proper areas of your body, such as your bones and your teeth. That's where they need to be, right? They need to stay in there to keep things hard. So if you don't have enough K2 because you're taking aspirin or you're taking statins and so forth, guess what happens? Calcium comes out of the bone, comes out of your teeth, you lose your teeth. You know, your mandible, meaning the lower your jaw and your maxilla, the upper portion, they don't start, they lose the density. You can't hold your teeth in place. So K2's role is to help move calcium and to put it where it needs to be. So according, and this is going to go back, this is how far they've known this stuff. Going back to 2009, there was a Dutch study that said vitamin K2 is associated with, and I'm reading directly right now, reduced vascular calcification. So if you had K2, and even small dietary amounts is what they're talking about in this report, you don't harden up. Statin drugs inhibit the function of K2. So if you're taking a statin or a statin-like substance, it inhibits the function and formation of K2, which means you just increase your risk of all kinds of things. So what does that mean? Osteoporosis and heart disease and heart attack and stroke and cancer and brain disease, and the formation of kidney stones and gallbladder stones and things that go bump in the night. So please be aware, this is information that's out there. You know, statins reduce ketone production. We mentioned that. Statins inhibit this enzyme in your liver that produces cholesterol. And it's, if you want to know the terminology, it's called HMG coenzyme A reductase. I'll say it again, HMG coenzyme A reductase. Sometimes when I slow down, I stutter on stuff, so you'll forgive me. Unfortunately, you know, this enzyme produces not only CoQ10, but also ketones, which are crucial, you know, to feed your mitochondria. Remember those little engines we talked about before? So if you don't have ketones, you can't get in the things that you need to get in your whole body. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that. We're coming up to the break. I got so much to tell you today, and my mouth can't move fast enough, and we don't have enough time, but we have to fix that. So just remember, we're going to talk about your stuff as best we possibly can, so it's up to you. Your health is in your hands. We'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let me call you, and you call me. Let's do it both ways. No, well, you better call me, because I can't call out today, because then they get mad at me. Hey, listen, you know, we're talking about statins. We're talking about things that can make your life horrible. And, you know, when you go talk to your physicians about this, they're educated by the pharmaceutical companies, and they're not going to like what you tell them. So please do your homework and make sure that you relate it to the articles that I'm quoting. And I am quoting articles. I'm not just giving you opinion. When I give you opinion, I'm going to say, this is my opinion. When I'm quoting, I'm going to tell you I'm quoting. But nevertheless, you got to be aware. You know, I think too much of all of you to allow you to just kind of blindly go over the cliff like lemons. It's not okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I want to go to the phones first and give us a call, 888-630-9625. Karen, you've been very patient. Thank you. How can I help you?
Oh, hi, Dr. Rozelle. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm fighting a bad cold.
I can hear it.
And I've been taking all the homeopaths. I've been... It's in my chest. It was up by my nose. I have no headache, no fever, no sore throat, an intermittent cough, and no running nose. I think the vitamin C is drying that up.
Are you bringing anything up, coughing anything up?
No, but when I was in Norway a couple of years ago, I got some cough medicine. And believe it or not, I think it was 2015, and it hadn't been opened. That's how well I am.
Okay, good girl.
It's called Bromhagensen hydrochloride. It's from Germany.
Yeah, not familiar with it, but let me give you some clues. First of all, I don't know, unless you're bringing something up, and whether you have a fever or not have a fever.
Yeah, I have no fever.
You know, whether it's bacterial or viral. It sounds viral to me, but I'm not going to tell you it is or it isn't. But I'm going to give you some things that are gentle and that might be able to help you. First of all, you know, starting in your head, one of the things that you can do with any kind of infection, whether it's a viral infection or it's a mold sensitivity or allergy or whether it's bacterial infection, go to the health food store and get yourself a neti pot. And you use the neti pot, and it's going to get hot, and you're going to drain your sinuses out, and you're going to use that, you know, probably a couple times a day, so you get rid of the stuff before it has a chance to get a hold of you. Remember that salt flushes out mucus in any parts of the respiratory system. So what you're going to do is you're going to do a salt water gargle, just because.
Oh, I was doing it with aspirin.
No. No,
okay,
no, no. Aspirin is not okay. Aspirin is going to kill the pain, but you're going to cause yourself other problems with the aspirin. You want to use salt water, and you gargle with salt water in warm water a few times a day, and it actually will help break up that chest congestion if you do it several times during the day. So you take a glass of warm water, and you put maybe a teaspoon of salt into it, and I would encourage you to use sea salt, particularly if you have any blood pressure problems. If you have blood pressure problems, or anybody does, and I'm saying this globally,
have... It's 110 over 70.
Great. So, but anybody that's out there, don't use straight salt, because if you're salt sensitive, it can drive your blood pressure up. And, you know, stir the mixture up and then use it to gargle, you know, and you do the gargle for 2 to 3 minutes. And I just put it in your mouth, go, and then throw it out. You want to do this 3 to 4 times a day. Steam is, you know, you can use the neti pot for this. And if you don't have a neti pot, you just get really hot water, put your head over a bowl, put a towel over your bowl the old-fashioned way.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and then go get yourself some eucalyptus drops. And you're going to put 3 to 5, you know, probably 5 drops of eucalyptus, and you're going to mix that with a little peppermint oil and maybe a little bit of rosemary. It works really well. And you put it in there and then just breathe that in. It's not going to hurt you, but it'll start clearing things up. And, you know, you want to keep that bowl moving, kind of swish it around so the oils get in there. And, you know, you do this again with the towel over your head, and you can lean over the bowl, and you're going to, again, repeat this a couple times a day. And it has a great effect. Alternative way, get yourself in a shower. And really as hot as you can stand, and apply hot compresses to your chest. So, and get the eucalyptus in your shower. You know, there's an old remedy that my grandmother used to use, and I'll share this with you for whatever it works. And, you know, going back to these old Sicilian ladies that came over from, on the boat, right? So they use onions, and onion contains sulfur and quercetin, and that breaks down mucus, and it prevents the buildup, you know, within your chest. It has
very... Onion?
Onion. Yeah, and it has very strong antimicrobial properties. I'm going to tell you how to use it in a second.
Okay.
So, you know, you take an onion and you grind it and you make a real thin paste out of it. And then you extract the onion juice by pressing it. You know, you kind of press the paste and just get the, you know, the juice out. And then you add a couple tablespoons of water and a little bit of lemon, about, if I remember how she used to do it, about 3-4 tablespoons of lemon. You know how the old timers do, they just put a little bit of this, a little bit of that,
right?
And then you add a couple tablespoons of honey to the onion juice. And you stir it all up, and then you heat it until it's lukewarm. You don't want it real hot, lukewarm. And then you drink the solution. And you do it about 3 times a day, and it's known to break up the chest. Unless you're allergic to any of these things, it's not going to hurt you. So, you know, and you can do this with, you know, a nice big old lemon. Another old piece is using apple cider vinegar.
I take that every day.
Okay, but put it on your chest.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you put a towel over the top of it and help break up the congestion as well. Ginger is another one that we've used for years. These things are kind of flying through my head right now because we've put them in our books and, you know, when we've directed people to do different things, that will help. And there's a whole bunch of different things that I can get into, but do that. You know, another process is if you know that you've got an infection, Manuka honey, not regular honey, but Manuka honey. Manuka honey is the one that has a really strong antibacterial properties. You want raw Manuka if you can get it. It's not made locally.
Really raw, that brand.
Huh?
I buy a brand called Really Raw.
Okay, but make sure it's Manuka.
Oh, okay.
All right, otherwise it's not going to work.
Okay.
All right. And then, you know, last but not least that's going through my brain right now is old-fashioned garlic.
Okay,
and
right,
garlic is a very heavy anti-inflammatory. It'll clear that chest up beautifully. You know, I'll give you a quick story. Some years ago before my daughter got married, and this is probably going back probably about 15 years ago, we were going to take the kids down to Grand Cayman on a diving trip. So my daughter calls me. We're leaving on Wednesday morning. She calls me on Sunday, and she says, "Dad," and I could barely hear her. Her throat was terrible. Her head was stuffed. She was coughing, and she's living down south in the Carolinas. And she says, "I don't think I can go." And I said, "Do you trust me?" She's, you know, she says, "Don't make me laugh. It hurts." So anyway, I said, "Honey, do you have any garlic?" And she laughs again because the kids always got garlic cloves in her. I said, "Go get your garlic, the raw garlic out, and I want you to chew up a garlic clove about every 2 hours." And I said, "Do that tonight and tomorrow. Call me tomorrow night and let me know how you feel." So within 24 hours, she gives me a call and she was clear as a bell and she says, "We're going." And so garlic has a active ingredient called allicin, and it's an extremely, extremely strong antimicrobial, but it's also very anti-inflammatory, so it'll clear the chest up. So try these things in addition to what you're doing, and I think that it'll help you. There's a lot of other things, but the ones I gave you should make a difference. Karen, thank you very, very much for your call. Appreciate it. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about statins, and I know that I'm getting a little bit on a rant today, but you know what? You need to know. You need to know what's happening in your body. You know, statins increase the risk of serious disease within your body, including things like cancer. And, you know, this research goes back 10 years or more. And ladies, you got to pay attention to this. If you're taking a statin, it doubles your risk of two major types of breast cancer, invasive ductal carcinoma and invasive lobular cancer. And you can't poo-poo this. This is straight up true stuff. Do your homework. You know, again, don't listen to what I'm having to say, but please, please, please do your homework on this stuff. You know, according to a letter, and I'm going to go into a little bit of quote and just kind of paraphrasing some things, the Journal of Clinical Oncology, and what they said, and this is a quote, "Several cholesterol-lowering drugs, including statins, have been found to be carcinogenic in rodents," okay, in rats, right, "in doses that produce blood concentrations of the drugs similar to those attained in treating patients." Did you get that? It's carcinogenic. So the dosage that they're giving you are going to cause a cancer, potential cancer in your body. So these breast cancers that are increased, they're increased 12 out of 286 women. That's not okay. That's 5%. That, you know, are you willing to play that Russian roulette game? I don't know. You know, there's another report on something called Prosperin's protective study of pravastatin in elderly. That's people that are older, right? And, you know, they say that they're at a greater risk, and cancer occurred in 245 of the 2,891 patients that were in this treatment group. And how can you ignore this stuff when you add that to the other things that we're talking about? Simvastatin is a cholesterol-lowering drug, and it causes hardening, aortic stenosis. They know that. That's the big artery that goes to your heart and goes to the rest of your body. And in addition to that, cancer occurred in 39 of the patients that they studied, 39 out of 944. Again, we're looking at 5 to 6% in every one of these studies. I don't know about you, but it's got my attention. There's no way that I'm ever there's so many other ways out there to make things better for yourself. You just have to do your homework, and you have to be willing to change a few things about your life. So statins have been shown to increase your risk in diabetes as well, and by many different mechanisms. The most important one is that it increases your insulin resistance. Remember, type 2 diabetes? Increase insulin resistance. That means that you can't get it through into the membrane. So you have the insulin, but it's going like crazy trying to transport that blood sugar into your tissue for it to work, but it can't get it done because of the resistance. It's an inflammatory barrier that's not happening. So we're going to go on. We're going to talk about more of this. And again, I'm giving you direct quotes to the more common and well-known medical journals. We're going to talk a little bit about neurodegenerative diseases and musculoskeletal disorders. That's where we're going to walk into the opioids if we have time. Don't know if we'll have the time, but let's go to the phones. Dave, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Yes. Hi, Tom. I was driving around here, and I heard your radio show, and your topic on statins.
Yes, sir.
I just had to stop and pull over and give you a call.
Thank you.
I am a 50-year-old male.
Yep.
I guess I have a combined baseline of around 225 on cholesterol without medications.
Okay.
A1C is about 5.7.
All right.
I've been seeing my general practitioner for about 20 years.
And all right.
He prescribed the statin for me. It was, I can say it now because it's generic, like rosuvastatin is
okay.
What he was giving me.
Yep.
And I was taking that, and after about 6 months, I would get out of bed feeling like I was walking on marbles.
That's right.
My feet hurt so bad.
Yep, it causes neuropathic pain.
My fingers, I could barely hold my cell phone. I thought I was having arthritis or something. I went back to him, and he said, I'm going to send you for x-rays for your feet to see if you have, you know, plantar fasciitis. He denied everything that he could, that statins was playing any part of it.
It's a very sad scenario that they don't know their own side effects.
And you say do your own homework, but I hate to get on WebMD because once I start getting through there and looking at stuff, you know, I've just got about everything in the world.
Well, you know, that's the problem, Dave. And so much of what happens in traditional medicine in Western culture is driven by dollars that are being written by folks. And you can put the names on them, the guys that want you to take drugs. And, you know, but when you're looking at statin and you know that there's musculoskeletal conditions that you're talking about, neuropathic pain, you know, it feels like everything's been beat up in your body. You know, your doctors say, well, you have myalgia, and then they're going to give you something for that. And then muscle cramping, and then autoimmune muscle diseases start taking place. Your body's immune system starts breaking down and tendons start being destroyed. All of these things are side effects that they know about. And when you go in and say, well, keep taking it anyway. You know, there's patients in my office that I've handed out this information. I've printed it for them. I said, take this to your doctor. And they take it to their physician. And what happens is they say, you know, you still have high risk and we have to do that. See, the bottom line is, unless they're guys like Sinatra, who's a medical physician, and we can name a ton of them, and they really understand the functional medicine protocols. They don't know what else to do, and it's unfortunate. There's some good people out there. You know, my job is to inform you, and I appreciate, you know, your calling in and telling us your experience, because this is what happens. This is not uncommon. These are day-to-day occurrences, and it's unfortunate. I really, Dave, thank you. I really appreciate your phone call. Statin therapy, you know, is problematic. There's ways of getting your cholesterol down if it is a problem. But Dave, with an A1C of 5.6 into that area of 5.7, you know, you're at the top end of normal. You want to get it down a little bit, but simply getting out and exercising and walking and changing your diet and getting rid of the carbohydrates and the sugars and doing the things that encourage your body's metabolic pathways, you'd be surprised. Walk 2 miles every day. Forget about the speed. Just go out, put a headset on, listen to some music, go for a walk. Start really eating, you know, 8 servings of vegetables a day, not fruits. Fruits should be 1 serving. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, but it's one serving. But the rest of it should be your vegetables. You know, the color, more colorful, the better. Help yourself. You can live longer that way. You'll feel better. You'll have more energy. You'll be able to participate at the levels that you have a right to do. We're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after these very important messages that are going to pay for this program. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do. I can't say every Sunday because we're on Saturday at 4 o'clock, but every Sunday at 12 noon when the Redskins aren't in town. And Saturdays at 4 o'clock when they're playing home like they are tomorrow. So guess what I'm going to be doing at 1 o'clock? Yep, you got it. I'm going to be watching the game just like the rest of you and hope everybody's cool and that we, you know, can go 5-5, hopefully. That's why we're here. That's why I gave up my spot on 12 o'clock on Sunday so I could do, you know, 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoons, but we're here. So tell everybody, we can go to our website. Go to RozelleCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E.com. RozelleCare.com. And the show, the programs will be listed and what Saturdays were here and what Sundays were not. And you'll get the message. Anyway, going back after the first of the year, we'll be back to normal every Sunday at high noon. And you're coming up to the holidays, everybody. So, you know, just remember, this is Thanksgiving week. And all of us are going to go to family, and, you know, that's like the most important thing in the world. But be careful what you consume, because between now and after New Year's, the first of the year, a lot of you are going to put on some extra pounds that you shouldn't be putting on. You know, those LBs are going to go around your butt and your waist. And you're going to wonder why you feel like garbage going into the first of the year. Why you're going to get sick. And your vitamin D is going down the doors because at September 1 until about May 1, you get very little sun. It's not okay. So you have to make up for it by eating really good, getting a little exercise. Don't drink too many toddies over the holidays. You know, you go to grandma's house this weekend, you start eating the pies and the cookies and the breads and the baked goods and all that stuff and the sweet potato that's loaded up with sugar on it. Well, how about the sweet potato without the sugar? That's like really good stuff. You know, you pop it in the oven and it comes out and you got this beautiful sweet potato. How about wild rice instead of the white rice? How about things like that? So, you know, reduce things, okay? Get rid of the grains and the sugars as best you possibly can. If you got to have sugar, have a little bit of raw honey, a little bit. You know, eliminate as much as you can gluten-containing grains and sugars. But don't go, just because it's gluten-free doesn't mean you should eat the other grains. You know, you want a good portion of your food to have to be raw. Not all of it, because your body needs some other things too. So make sure you're getting plenty of high quality animal based omega fatty acids. And you don't have to eat animal products. You can get krill oil. You can get omega fatty acids from fish. There's lots, but you want to make sure it's an excellent grade before you jump into it. You know, we test about 6 or 7 different types in our office, and we only use organic, high quality pharmaceutical level substances. Get rid of the vegetable oils. These are harmful, okay, and synthetic trans fats. You want healthy fats. You want olive oil and real raw butter. Yeah, butter. I said butter. And coconut oil. And olive oil should only be used cold pressed, okay? Coconut oil for cooking and baking. All right, then you want to get fermented foods into your diet on a regular basis. You know, these will optimize your good guys in your intestinal tract, the intestinal flora, and that helps overall. So Make sure your mouth is clean. By the way, you know, some of you got really lousy oral hygiene, and subsequently you're increasing your risk of heart problems and cardiovascular problems. Get that vitamin D level up. Okay, ideally, it should be sun exposure, but as I said, at this area of the world, not so good, because if you're not getting enough vitamin D, you're going to plaque, and you're going to plaque heavily. We're coming up to that unfortunate part of the program where I'm going to have to say adieu until next week. However, take everything that I said. You can repeat this program, by the way, by going to either RoselleCare.com or go to RoselleRadio.com. That's RoselleRadio.com. And there's hundreds of programs that are sitting there. I'll see you next week. I love you all, as always. Take what I say and apply it. See you then. Bye.